that she was given a message to bring this to the body of Christ. And among the people she says, she saw a soul in the form of a skeleton, crying, "Jesus, have mercy. O Lord," I say. It was the voice of a woman. I looked at her and wanted to pull her out of the fire. The sight of her broke my heart. The skeleton form of a woman with a dirty gray mist inside was talking to Jesus. In shock, I listened to her. Decayed flesh hung by shreds from her bones. As it burned, it fell off into the bottom of the pit. Where her eyes had once been were now only empty sockets. She had no hair. The fire started at her feet in small flames and grew as it climbed up over her body. The woman seemed to be constantly burning even when the flames were only embers. From deep down inside her came cries and groans of despair. "Lord, Lord, I want out of here." She kept reaching out to Jesus. I looked at Jesus and there was great sorrow on his face. Jesus said to me, "My child, you are here with me to let the world know that sin results in death, that hell is real." I looked at the woman again and worms were crawling out of the bones of a skeleton. They were not harmed by the fire. "She knows," Jesus said, "and feels these worms inside her." You think that people are going to be, the beautiful people that you see on earth are going to be beautiful in hell? They deceive. In hell, they lose every of the glorious form of God. Now, some of us don't believe, oh, only skeletons left. Everything is a picture. The very flesh melting, it's the soul flesh melting. And then it starts all over again. It starts all over again. Now, in this world, in this physical earth, when you torture someone, when it reaches a threshold, they pass out. They faint. In hell, there is no loss of consciousness. You cannot die. You cannot stop seizing feeling. It's a horrible place. And some of those people who went there, that she saw, that Jesus allowed her to see, were people who once knew the Lord. And this is the saddest thing. And here's another woman. In the next pit was the form of another skeleton. "I smelled the odor of death even before we arrived. This skeleton looked the same as the others. I wonder what this soul had done that it should be lost and hopeless, with no future except in eternity in this dreadful place. Hell is for eternity. As I heard the crying of the souls in torment, I cried too. I listened as a woman spoke to Jesus from the flames of the pit. She was quoting the word of God. 'Dear Lord, what is she doing here?' I asked. 'Listen,' said Jesus. The woman said, 'Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Jesus is the light of the world. Come to Jesus and he will save you.' When she spoke, many of the lost souls around her listened. Some swore and cursed at her. Some told her to stop. Still others said, 'Is there really hope? Help us, Jesus. Great cries of sorrow filled the air.' I didn't understand what was happening. I did not know why the woman was preaching the gospel here. The Lord knew my thoughts. He said, 'Child, I called this woman at the age of 30 to preach my word and to be a witness of the gospel. I called different ones for different purposes in my body. But if a man or woman, boy or girl doesn't want my spirit, I will depart.' Yes, she did answer my call for many years, and she grew in the knowledge of the Lord. She learned my voice, and she did many good works for me. She studied the word of God. She prayed often. She had many prayers answered. She taught many people the way of holiness. She was faithful in her house. The years went by until one day she found that her husband was having an affair with another woman. Even though he asked for forgiveness, she grew bitter and would not forgive her, tried to save her marriage. True, her husband was wrong. He did commit a grave sin. But this woman knew my word. She knew to forgive, and she knew that with every temptation there's a way of escape. She would not. Instead, anger took root. Anger grew inside her. She would not turn it over to me. She turned more bitter each day and said in her heart, here I am serving God all the way, and my husband is running around with another woman. Do you think that is right? She said to me. I said, no, it is not right. But he came to you and repented and said he will never do that again. And I told her, daughter, look inside yourself. See that what you have caused yourself. Not me, Lord, she said. I am the holy one. He is the sinful one. She would not listen. Time went on. She wouldn't pray to me. She wouldn't read the Bible. She became angry, not only at her husband, but also at those around her. She quoted the scriptures. She would not forgive him. She would not listen to me. Her heart grew bitter. Great sin entered in. Murder grew in her heart, where love had once been. One day, in her anger, she killed her husband and the other woman. Satan took her over completely. She killed herself, and now she is here. Question. Is it possible to lose one's salvation? Yes! Let's be frightened of that for a moment. Just to remind you, I don't preach this kind of message often. Maybe once in a while we need it. But let's fear. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let me remind Christians. If you're living in sin, it's time to fear God. Now, the reason for teaching the humility series is also because, not just because of, all these books come in the timing of God. You know, thank God for those who just brought it. I read this 10 years ago, but it's nice to read it all over again, to be reminded of these things. On May the 10th, 2004, the Lord Jesus appeared to me and showed me his hands. One of the things the Lord told me, there are many things the Lord told me, was there are many people who are not living their life right with God. There are many Christians who are doing things against Christians, doing things that are against the Spirit of God, and they are fighting the Spirit of God. And one of the things that I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how long will you permit this? I said, Lord, how long will you allow injustice to prevail? How long will you allow those who love you to be persecuted by those who hate you? How long will you allow Christians to go against Christians? When here in John chapter 17, we are praying every day. Let me remind you, every day I pray John 17, that the church will be one and restored. I say, Lord, how long will you allow these Christians to do that to Christians? And the Lord says, 1 year. I will give them 1 year to repent. If they don't repent, they will see the judgment of God. And when I calculate 1 year, it reaches to next year. 1 year to repent. And then somebody gave me Kenneth Hagin's prophecy, which I did not know of when the Lord spoke to me. And in Kenneth Hagin's prophecy, which we pin out on the board, he was given that prophecy in 2003. He says 2003, the Lord was going to restore some things. 2004 was a year for more. 2005 is a year of judgment. We need to have the fear of God back on our life. God does have a part of Him that we do not know called His, the wrath of God, the anger of God. And you and I don't want. Can you imagine how many of us want to go to heaven and face an angry God, even if it's a few seconds? I do not want. But if you're a Christian and you say, I have a ticket to heaven, I haven't sinned unto death, let me tell you, you will still have to face an angry God, even for a moment. And that moment is going to feel like an eternity. When the fire of God burned everything in your life because you didn't live your life right with God. Another aspect of this book, and part of this book only if you move into the spiritual dimension, you understand some of these things that is happening. But let me read a section of the book called The Valley of Hell. And the next night, Jesus and I went into hell. We entered a large open area. And it says the scene was something like a horror movie. As far as I could see, there were souls in torment. The devil and his angels were going about their work. The semi-darkness was pierced with screams of agony and despair. And Jesus brought her to the heart of hell. And she talks about hell like beating like a heart. And let me read this section here from, the heart of hell. And because she was so frightened, Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I have to show you this. And ahead of me, I saw a large black object. Coming out from this black object, I remember that I've been told this was the heart of hell. It was like a place. Coming out of this black heart were what looked like large arms or horns. They were coming out of it and going up and out of hell into the earth and all over the earth. I wondered if these horns were the ones the Bible spoke about. All around the earth was dry. The earth was dry. The heart was the blackest of blacks, but another color like the scales of a snake's skin was intermixed with the black. An awful odor arose from the heart each time it beat. It moved as a real heart and beat up and down. An evil force field surrounded it. In my amazement, I looked at this evil heart and wondered what its purpose. Jesus said, these branches which look like arteries of a heart are pipelines that go up out through the earth to spill out evil upon it. These are the horns that Daniel saw. They represent evil kingdoms. Some have already been, some shall be, some are now. Evil kingdoms shall arise and the Antichrist will rule over many peoples and places and things. Out of these main branches or horns, smaller branches grow. Out of the smaller branches will come demons, evil spirits, all manner of evil forces. They will be released upon the earth and instructed by Satan to do many evil works. And part of it, as she goes on, it spread all over the place. And in this section on the horns, I saw the horns. They wound their way upward and ended up in homes, churches, hospitals, offices, buildings of all kinds all over the earth. The horns did great damage throughout the land. I saw the great beast speak and evil spirits were spit out of the earth. I saw many people seduced by these demonic spirits and fall into Satan's snare. So can you imagine? Right now, at every moment, from hell comes influences, constantly turning the world for evil. Of course, from God comes good influences. To be positive, the prayers also make a difference. At the end of the book, she was positive. She talked about how prayer began to cancel all the activities. But let's be reminded, when I was reading this, I was reminded of scriptures that tells us that a lot of the things that she saw are definitely scripture. In the book of James, chapter 3, it talks about the power of the tongue. It says in verse 5 and 6, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is a set among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature. Verse 6, it is set on fire by hell itself. See, the horns that you saw grow from underneath, it comes all over and keeps influencing people all over the earth. And in the book of Matthew chapter 5, it's mentioned here about anger in Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council.